Nation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone, spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-X, let's go
play em. Cardinal game, get a Cardinal start.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wyman, here with my fantastic and phenomenal co-host, the one and only, Sean Barber.
What's going on, folks?
That's code word for never had a girl. The impressive Sam Bazin.
What up?
There's no code word. He's just a very impressive person. The blue chipper, Dalton Pence.
What's going on, everybody?
And the red meter, Cody Higdon.
What's up, everybody?
And we're waiting for all of you Joe Wyman fans. Don't worry. He's on his way. He'll be joining us in progress. But we have a good show for y'all today. We didn't have a good outcome yesterday, but we do have a good show for you today. We did have a guest, and that guest wasn't able to make it, and then his replacement wasn't being able to make it, but... We shout out to Rashawn Myers. He'll be on soon with us. Lorenzo Malden, as soon as things settle down, he'll be in here with us. But we appreciate you all reaching out to support us and stand by us. Sam, you good over there?
Yeah, I'm good now.
Okay, I was just making sure. But shout out to all of our fine sponsors, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, and Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. The first thing I want to ask y'all real quick before I go ahead and give you all my immediate reaction, what should the name of this episode be? Should it be Bye Pit Bye, because we got a bye week next week, or should it just be Aw Pit?
Aw Pit.
Aw Pit.
Okay, that's what I thought, but then the bye thing. Higgy, I told you your answer was stupid.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. All right, so let's jump into it. The Cards lost yesterday by score. What was the final score, Sean?
23-20.
There's something about that field, because I watched the Steelers struggle today on that field. They almost lost, but they didn't, because they're 3-0 now. And Sean, a very impressive win by your Bears today. They were down 16 to start the fourth quarter.
Thank you, Atlanta Falcons. We appreciate it.
We're currently watching Dalton's Chargers. They're trailing by 8 late in the first half to the worst team in the NFL history, according to Dalton, the Carolina Panthers. Higgy, who's your team? Because there's not like the burger. There's not like the Charleston Burger Kings or nothing like that.
The Ravens, for sure.
The Ravens. So, your team faces off with Sam's team Monday night?
Yep.
Oh, well, that should be anticlimactic for you, Higgy.
It's either going to be a bald head or free food.
There he is. We are joined in progress by co-host Joe Wyman. Joey, what's going on? You can just say hi from there.
Up.
All right, there you go. So, immediate reaction. I got a couple bullet points here, and then we'll discuss them. I feel like after watching the game yesterday, our defense is progressively getting better. Still some holes there. Still some things that need to be fixed. Pitt's defense is as legit as it was as advertised. Our O-line confused me a lot yesterday. I don't understand how you can regress in a game that you progressed in, but we can figure that out together. Malik has been surprisingly I'm trying to – because I know that they listen to us up there at the university, so I don't like to ever talk too bad. But
Underachieving.
Great. Thank you for that. See, I stall. You throw the ball up. I dunk it in. So
actually, you threw it up and I dunked it in.
Either way, you know, we got points, which is something we needed yesterday.
That was a four-point play.
Well, then we win the game. Two losses this year so far. Both of them are to ranked teams. And a lot of people thought Pittsburgh wouldn't stick in the top 25 once all the other conferences were added. They did indeed stick into the top 25. So, and I don't think that they're a very dominant team, but I do think they are going to be somewhere between 15 and 20, ranked 15 and 20 all year long. So a decent team. We had another slow start to the game yesterday. That's what's really killed us in both games that we lost this year, starting off slow offensively. We also had more third down woes again yesterday. And we also want to shout out prayers for a speedy recovery for Malik. Our guy Kelly Dickey threw out an interesting stat earlier. We are 0-6 or 0-7 when Malik is announced as Malik Cunningham and not Mikael Cunningham. Which I don't know why Kelly Dickey looked stuff up like that, but I'm
glad he did.
I'm glad he did. So let's kick things off here, no pun intended. One thing that I've noticed is that the offense has been slow to start these games. And Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and go to you first real quick. Why do you think we have been so slow to start the game off?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's really ever a – I don't think it's always kind of the same reason. I think it really just kind of bounces back and forth. I think number one is the attention to detail on
we
the
failed.
Defail. Yeah. Okay, attention to defail on the offensive line. It seems like we saw against Miami and Pittsburgh, their defensive ends were, you know, wrecking havoc in the backfield seemingly from the first offensive snap. So I think that definitely has a lot to do with it. I think you know, the offensive line adjusts throughout the game, but early on, I think that really can be contributed to, you know, can contribute to those to the pretty bad starts. Another thing is just the I think it's really just a lack of urgency on the offensive end. That's a whole unit thing. The good thing is that can be corrected, but I think that the main culprit is kind of the offensive line at the beginning of games.
I want to follow up with something that we were talking about before the show started.
We heard you, Joey.
Yeah, we heard the can.
I tried to do it very quiet.
I know.
It's okay.
I got to replenish, man.
You got to. You've been busy all day. Him's been working hard.
Yeah, because nobody helped me. She didn't.
Why do you think Malik has regressed or he's been as mediocre? Because that's also been pointed out. He's got 5 INTs this year. He had 5 all of last year. Is it just as simple as the O-line's not giving him enough time and he's making bad decisions?
I think that there's a combination of things. The offensive line hasn't really given him enough time. Granted, you know, this will probably be mentioned over and over. We have played 2 ranked teams with good defensive units, especially on the line of scrimmage. But I think that he's been kind of a step slow in his reads this season. I think there's a whole nother season of film on record that opposing teams have to, you know, access. You know, Pat Narduzzi, a great defensive-minded coach. And I think it's a couple things. I also think that there could be a mental aspect. You know, confidence does ring well, you know, especially with college athletes. So, you know, look for him to try to bounce back against Georgia Tech to build that confidence up. But, yeah, I mean, I just think it's a combination of a couple things.
And he's going to have time because the Cards are, in fact, on a bye week next week. Right, we do play that following Friday. I think it's Friday night, October the 9th, 7 p.m. ESPN. Go ahead, Sam.
Real quick, Dalton, I don't think you should let the play calling, whoever's calling the plays, I don't think you should let them off the hook.
No,
either.
I think that the play calling has been, you know, for lack of better terms, I feel like it's been kind of vanilla in a way. I think, you know, obviously they know more about it than we do. And not trying to step on any shoes here. I just feel like, you know, a lot of it can be one-dimensional. It's almost like we're broadcasting what we're going to do. And a lot of our play calling that had been, you know, unsuccessful early in the game, we had kind of not really tinkered with it to put our offense in the best situation. But I credit the defensive line from Pittsburgh and Miami in that regard.
Yeah, really good. Really good defenses, Joey.
Well, my thing with Malik, I think, is that he came into the season. If anybody watched him on like Instagram, like he was pumped, man. He was ready to go.
Right.
I think he came in a little overamped, overconfident, and he still is. He's trying to do too much. Everybody said he needed to be a leader. And he's trying, like, I think in his mind, he thinks, leader, I have to do this. But what he has to do is kind of slow his mind down a little bit more. Like you said, he's trying to do too much at once. He's got Javian to help him out. He's got other guys to help him out. And he's got to allow those guys to do that. And he's trying to do too much, and he's making bad decisions, throwing picks. I seen it several times yesterday where he took off before the offensive line even had a chance to get their block. Like, and it wasn't a design. You could tell it wasn't a design run play. It was supposed to be a pass play. So the receivers haven't had a chance to make their breaks. The line hasn't had a chance to secure their block, and he's trying to take off, and it's for little to no yards.
So here's my question, Dalton, or Sam, I'm sorry, you brought up – one of y'all did. It's probably both of y'all. No, it was Dalton, said that the offense has looked kind of vanilla. And I feel like Scott Satterfield's offense has always been that way, because I remember watching him at Appalachian State, that little I don't know what the actual formation is called, so I apologize. But it's like you've got your line, then your quarterback, and then you got two guys here and then one guy. It's almost like a triangle.
Like the diamond?
Right. Yeah, right. And that's what he run at App State, and I saw that. I have seen that multiple times last year and this year, so it seems like it is not a dumbed down offense, but an easier offense to try to understand. And what we do have to realize, this is a rebuilding year. We all had high expectations for the team, and still, they have the talent to have pulled off those expectations. They just weren't able to handle, the situations that they were put in. Because I still truly believe that we were better than Pittsburgh, and we could have beaten Miami.
Oh, we were definitely better than Pittsburgh. I mean, we shot ourselves in the foot. They played about as good as they could on offense yesterday against us.
Yeah,
and we left. I mean, we got a field goal on the opening drive of the second half, I think it was, and then never scored again. And our defense.
I think the only time we scored was late in the third quarter when we went on that 17-0 run, right, and didn't score until Turner hit the field goal right before the fourth quarter. And
I just knew, like, we hit that one. We got a third quarter field goal, but I half agree with you on the one point you made. I think it's a rebuilding year still on defense. There's no reason this is a rebuilding year on offense.
Not at all.
We got three guys that are said to be in the top 18 most exciting players in the country. I understand our line, but do we think if these guys are that good, they should be able to do? They should be able to put up more than what they put up yesterday.
Well, the thing is the O line is what hindered us from putting up, hindering our potential. But the fact of the matter is, the definition of a rebuilding year for a team is that you've changed coaches, and we have, and you have to allot said coach enough time to get his players, get his ideologies, to get his playbook in there and get it learned. And even if one section of your team is not performing well, then they need to get better.
Well, and that's Sam, the problem is if our offense doesn't perform, we're pretty much screwed.
Oh, 100%. Right.
Yeah, like right. Going to what you're saying.
If anyone offense doesn't perform, they're pretty much
screwed. Yeah,
well,
but
not Pitts.
More so Louisville, I think. I think Louisville's offense has to, you know,
help the defense.
Well, they have to, like, almost exceed expectations in a way to, you know, to ensure a victory, in a sense of other teams, you know, at least just playing the game which they're supposed to and being able to.
I disagree with that. I think if our defense just plays average.
I'm talking about the offense.
Oh, okay.
The offense has to. There's so much pressure on the offense.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, we can. The Miami thing, it's hard to get into a rhythm, especially in that second half when you give up those back-to-back big plays. So a lot of the offensive woes, sometimes it's hard to get into a rhythm in that realm.
Here's a good stat. Here's where our defense our offense let our defense down yesterday. They ran 78 plays to our 51. Our defense was on the field way too much.
Well, speaking of defense, Sam, Pitt's defense was as good as advertising. One reason I think that I myself was kind of iffy about our O-line yesterday is because their defense was so good. Several of us here on the panel before the season said we're going to lose to Pitt.
You.
And yeah, well, me, I'm one of them. And the others were like, no, there's no way we're going to lose to Pitt.
Me.
Right, yeah. That was purposely, that's why I put that in there. But what does the O-line need to work on to become more consistent? And is there anything that they can do since most people think it's just the fact that they're outsized?
At first, it
undersized,
comes down
I'm sorry,
to,
I said that
to technique. Because if you have technique, it helps you. So one, I think they need to shore up their technique, need to be better communicators. We need to find a legit leader. Because we knew who the leader on that offensive line was last year. And he's playing for the New York Jets right now. So what?
Can I real quick? I know that I hate when other people interrupt people, and I don't mean to interrupt you now, but I want to give a huge shout out to Mekhi Becton. Anybody who follows me on social media knows that, you know, I love my family. I give them my all. I posted a tweet the other day My niece Ashlyn, which a lot of y'all are familiar with because, like I said, y'all followed me for a long time. I post about my girls all the time. Her grandma on her dad's side was the sole provider for her family. It was her grandma, and she had three kids, and they all lived in this house. The kids are they're 19, a senior in high school, and a eighth grader in middle school. And she passed away last week. And the family just couldn't. All that burden fell to my sister-in-law. So I took our dad to radiation the other day, and I got on there and I simply put out a tweet. I was like, if you all can help out, here's the GoFundMe. I appreciate it. And about an hour later, I looked down and Makai had retweeted it. So I sent him a message. I said, hey, man, I really appreciate that. I know you're busy. Thanks a lot. Thanks for retweeting. That's all I want is retweet. He's like, no, I'm not just retweeting. I'm going to donate $200. And if y'all don't reach the full amount you need, let me know. I'll take care of the rest. And I'm like, first off,
that's awesome.
Really this cool. is a person that he don't know.
Right.
Second off, she cheered for the other team. And that was very apparent by the GoFundMe. She had a blankety blank blank shirt on, right. And he could have very easily just passed my tweet. Now me and Makai's mom are really cool. Ever since I had started covering him, me and her clicked up really well. She's a great person. If you see her at the game, she'll talk to you. She'll act like she knew you the whole time. Shout out to Miss Simone. But he didn't have to do that, and we really do. We did end up because of Makai's retweet. Getting that amount reached, so we do appreciate that. But shout out to Makai Becton, and good luck to him. I don't know, they're losing, right?
17-7.
He plays for the Jets, right?
Yeah,
so they're losing.
It ain't his fault.
No, it's definitely not his fault. Sure. But shout out to him. We really do appreciate that, and it's that the family just been overwhelmed, and they said to tell you thank you, and they really do appreciate it. But Sam, I'm sorry. Go back to what your point about the Pitt's defense. My bad.
Well, yeah. So. Outside of better technique from our offensive linemen, better communication,
right.
a legit leader. Because one, I think and I believe that the offensive line is one of the most, one of the units that needs to gel the most for an offense or for a team to succeed. But I also think that part of the reason why our offensive line is struggling is something I alluded to earlier when Dalton was saying, I think the play calling hasn't helped them at all.
It's not been their best friend, no.
Because when you have, like, even early on when we played Western Kentucky, they had two studs, well, a stud on the defensive end. Then we had Miami, and then we had Pittsburgh. Like, the way to slow down pass rushes like that is you either run right at them, you move the launching pad, you bring in a running back or a tight end to help chip. Like you do quick plays, quick screens, something to dial down their aggressiveness, and we haven't been doing that. We've been, like Dalton said, vanilla and predictable on offense all year round so far.
I think we have our first 50 plays scripted.
that could be very possible.
And you know, I mean, I know Bobby doesn't like. I say not Bobby. I know
did you say Bobby?
Wow. Dollar in the swear jar, Sam. Dollar in the swear jar.
That's $5. I thought he said Barbie.
I know Joey doesn't like the former coach.
Oh, you called Joey Bobby. I thought you were calling Sam.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I was about to say Joey.
You ever heard a guy named Braun Strowman?
Yeah, this is not the Ringside Podcast.
Okay? Well, it's about to be.
No, I can barely see that sticker from here, but go ahead.
But I think it was Friday. I was on my way to get a haircut, and I was listening to 93.9, and Steve and Perrin was talking to Mario Urrutia. And he said that the former coach was a different animal. He used to hug them. He would tell them, go in a dark room, get your music or whatever you need to listen to, and just focus and see yourself coming out of the tunnel, hearing the play call, clapping, getting into position, and see yourself, visualize yourself running those scripted plays. And so when it came to the game time, they knew those plays in and out and everything about it. I think we need to do something similar because I know our first eight, something like that, 8 to 10 are scripted. It doesn't seem like it.
It
really doesn't.
No, it really.
I agree with that.
It really don't.
Something needs to happen because we need that offensive line to get in gear to help the defense, to help McHale. Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, no. I was going to wait till you were done.
Okay. We need that offensive line to help McHale and help our receivers and our running backs. But in order for that to happen, I think we need whoever's calling the play call to do something to help your guys out. You're killing them.
Question, because I'm really not sure right off the top of my head, and I haven't had a chance to kind of prep. Of our remaining schedule, Notre Dame aside, are we going to face a defensive line better or as good as we faced with Pitt and Miami?
Talent-wise, you do have a couple, but as a whole team, as a collective unit, nah.
Because I just feel like if they faced these two back-to-back and they've – maybe it's – you take the brunt of the storm and it kind of helps you, learn for the rest of the season. So right. I'm just kind of hoping – like we were talking about, what can the offensive line do to get better? I think playing those two teams is part of it. I mean, because you can go back to the film room and see the technique issues that you had and kind of build on that maybe.
So we did great points. We did talk about Pittsburgh's defense, Sean. But I'm gonna aim this question towards you. Can you at least give me the? Because I know we've had a lot of very harsh critics on our defense. Some people in this room.
Who's that?
Several people in the group chat. But can you at least give me, Sean, the fact that our defense does appear to be adjusting and is getting better every? I mean, they may not be getting like
they're not
incrementally, better. But a lot of people give us crap for the Miami game, but we had two horrible plays yesterday. We had two or three bad plays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, in your opinion, are we getting any better as a defense?
You can see we are. We're definitely getting better. We've been good against the run, pretty consistently so far this year. Because you look, I know they had 100-some-odd yards like Pittsburgh did, but if you look at it, it was a bunch of different guys, and some of it was some kind of gadget plays. One of them was like
our
a
biggest
jet
problem
sweep
is gadget plays.
By receiver. But you look at Dorian Etheridge, leads the entire nation in tackles for loss. C.J. Avery had a pick. Yasser Abdullah had the strip sack. Monty Montgomery's had a lot of tackles for loss and sacks. Our front seven, the defensive line needs to get a little better, obviously. But the linebackers are the strength of the team. Also against Pittsburgh, I'll say this, the secondary was better, but not great.
Right.
They at least communicated. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Because they were having issues against Miami. That's what happened. No communication. And we don't communicate, we see what happens. Busted plays. They actually communicated well.
So I don't completely want to crap all over yesterday. The defense has been improving. The kicker showed out yesterday under pressure. And Javian has now had more yards on that one run than the entire Pittsburgh defense had given up all year long. I'll start with you, Joey. Who was your MVP for Louisville yesterday?
No one. No.
How many field goals did the kicker have?
Just say the kicker. You wanted to say the kicker. Kicker.
He had two, right? I mean, Javian got that one, 99.3% of his total yards came on that one run.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that out. I would have to say
the kicker.
James Sam. Turner.
You're going James Turner, yeah. Sam?
I'm a.
Oh, that's his name. That's not who you're going with. Or is that who you're going with, Dalton?
I'm pleading the fifth.
Oh, that's right. You said nobody. Yeah. Court, Dalton said nobody. Sam?
Although we lost, I give it to the defense.
The defense?
I want to say I'm not. They did what they could yesterday. I mean, they were on the field a lot of the game.
I looked at it. What McHale had, he had the interception.
Well, he had three.
He had three. He had three. Sorry. He had three. Well, I really counted two, but three anyway, stat-wise. Three interceptions. I think Javion had a fumble loss. And then we went 1-for-11 on third downs. This game should have been dominated by Pitt. Yeah.
I was just looking for a one-word answer there, Paige. Sean, who was your MVP yesterday?
My MVP is it's got to be Dorian Etheridge.
That's a good one, Higgy. And don't say
I do have one.
Okay, don't say the number three at McDonald's.
No, I was going to say C.J. Avery.
Okay.
And I'm going right down the field and going Yasir Abdullah.
All right. So. And he continues to amaze me. He's very impressive. Cards do have a bye week before lining up on Friday night, October the 9th versus Georgia Tech, as I said earlier, 7 p.m. ESPN. Kind of gives you that Conference USA Louisville feeling that we had when they stuck us on Friday nights every week throughout the season. And then after Georgia Tech, we line up against Notre Dame. But first, we're going to take we got the CSE mailbag coming up. We do have a interesting announcement to make. And we'll make that when we come back. It's about a segment from last year that's coming back next week. It's definitely bi-week segment material featuring our guy. You know what? We'll come back after the break. Yeah. This has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Or this is going to continue to be after the break.
Come on out to Four Pegs Beer Lounge, located at 1053 Goss Avenue. Four Pegs has the best and most rolls for your eating pleasure. With daily specials on food and drinks and weekly dishes that are sure to wow your taste buds, Four Pegs is the place for you. One of my favorite things about Four Pegs, other than the food, is the great atmosphere and fun times you can have at Four Pegs. Chris is a community pillar and a great guy, and you can tell he wants everyone to have a great time there. For more info and daily specials, give our guy Chris a call at 502-634-1447. That's 502-634-1447. Four Pegs Beer Lounge.
Come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville, located in the heart of Shively. We are a huge, bright, family-friendly trampoline park. We offer large spaces for birthday parties with top-of-the-line experiences and 2 hours of jump time with every party. Our prices for family fun are competitive with the other guys as well. Make sure you check out our foam area. It's awesome. So come on out to Altitude Trampoline Park of Louisville and have a blast. I know me and my sisters always do.
Yeah, buddy.
If you have any questions, please give us a call at 502-449-9952. That's 502-449-9952.
Hello, Card Nation. If you need your yard taken care of, then go to a guy that I trust. Rob Black in Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. If you need it done, they can do it. Rob has over 30 years of experience in the business, and he takes care of my lawn as well. He does an amazing job. Services include lawn care, fall cleanups, pressure washing, landscaping, soft washing, gutter cleaning, cleanups, and much more. Average yard costs about $30. Average overall cleanup cost is about $125. So if you're interested, give our guy Rob at Derby City Lawn and Landscaping a call at 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping.
Custom Multicades makes authentic, quality arcade machines at the most reasonable prices. When you're looking for the perfect piece for your family game room or man cave, you can find what you want at Custom Multicades. Right here in the Ville. Whether you're looking for an upright game, cocktail table game, or even a bourbon barrel game, Custom Multicades is the place to go. They even carry Golden Tee games and virtual pinball machines as well. You can get all the classic games you love, like Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, Space Invaders, Donkey Kong, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, WrestleFest, Altered Beast, so much Shinobi, Bad Dudes, Ninja Gaiden, all of them, just depending on which pack you pick. When you get in contact with Chris and Linda, they will steer you to the right pack. They are some of the best customer service people that I've ever dealt with. I have one in my home, so you can trust me on that. They do pride themselves, though, on providing the best product at a reasonable price and backing that up with excellent customer service. They are a locally owned company by Chris and Linda Stewart. They have been in the amusement business for over 20 years. But let's get back to that game. You can customize it not only with games, but with graphics. Their graphics team can help you turn your arcade into a family heirloom or business centerpiece, pro teams, college teams, even your business logo, maybe even your face. Don't quote me on that one. That may be incorrect. You can also get light-up buttons, light-up joysticks. You can customize the trim, all of the panel stickers, everything. It's an amazing product, and I can say that because I have one in my home. So if you're interested in getting your own arcade game, give them a call at 502-819-5802. That's 502-819-5802. Or check them out online at CustomMultiCades.com.
Brother-in-law.
Welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone. The stuff we talk about on commercial break is it's rated.
Un-effing believable.
I'm the halftime entertainer.
Un-effing believable.
The first one was actually Dalton and not the soundbite. It is rated L for Louisville, I guess. But welcome back to the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Coming to you live from the Custom Multicade Studios, being brought to you by the Jamon Brown Foundation. Before we get to the second part of the show, which is the CSE mailbag, let's talk about some of our fine sponsors. Shack in the Back Barbecue. That's 363-3BBQ. They're in the Fairdale area. They have been there for quite a long time.
They're going to be right down the block from me.
Joey's going to be a frequent frequenter
yeah.
of Shack in the Back Barbecue. Great people out there, Barbara Savellis and family. If you have a chance, go out there. Their food's great. They cater for all kinds of occasions. Give them a call, 363-3BBQ. Fitness Marcus, Chris, and Sarah out there, 502-882-2694. If you're looking for somebody, if you're looking for equipment for working out, fitness, anything of that nature. Jeff, why do you always send us pictures during the middle of the podcast? But if you're trying to look for any kind of fitness equipment, they have the top of the line equipment. They can provide payment plans. They have you taken care of. That's Fitness Market, 502-882-2694. Linda and Chris Stewart at Custom Multicades, 502-819-5802. You heard the commercial before the break, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because that one actually goes into a lot of detail. They've got some new stuff that's about to come out soon. I'm going to go in and test it out here in a few weeks, and I'll come back and let you know what it's like. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but apparently they're coming out with a super arcade, and it's going to be phenomenal. But give them a call. They can customize any sit-down, stand-up, bourbon barrel arcade system that you have or that you want. Just give them a call. They can set you up, 502-882-2694. No, I'm sorry. That's Fitness Market, 502-819-5802. Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, 502-773-5757. Our guy Rob Black played football with me and Joey at Doss. He's been taking care of lawns for over 15 years, does a phenomenal job, takes care of my yard. He's got special pricing for military and senior citizens. If you, a family member, anybody needs their yard taken care of, I know we're getting ready to wrap up the lawn care season, per se, but he can help you get your lawn ready for next year. They do seeding and aerating as well. Landscaping, give him a call, 502-773-5757. And last but not least, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, 634-1447. My favorite place in the world to eat is Four Pegs, and I cannot find anywhere that delivers them to my house. Every time I log into it, I think he said that Postmates delivers, and every time I log in, it says that they're not available for orders. I know they're busy, so sometimes those restaurants do shut that down. But
it's because they ain't got no drivers. Nobody wants to drive for Postmates.
That's a little zing from a DoorDasher. But is that really a rivalry? Oh, that's true. That's true.
And you got to order all the food first, and you make like $4 an hour. Losers.
Okay.
Won't be a sponsor.
This sponsor brought to you by DoorDash.
DoorDash
Postmates,
is awesome.
Postmates, not a sponsor. DoorDash, sponsor. But they've got all kinds of great food out there. The chicken joint is one that just, like, I fiend for it at times. And I'm about to get back into my, again, those of you all that have followed me know that over the years I have been on a weight loss journey. I've been failing at it this year as of late with everything that's been going on. But I'm starting it back tomorrow. And even though I love Four Pegs, I'm going. That's going to be my cheat spot. we're going to go out there later this season, and I'm going to let Chris pick which game we come out, and we're going to record the show from Four Pegs because Joey.
I'm going to dominate Dalton, his ass.
Higgy. Oh, Sam?
Sorry.
I don't remember if Sam.
I was talking about Higgy.
It's now an explicit episode. Just kidding. We're gonna do the Louisville Lip challenge. And Higgy, would you like to let everybody know what that challenge is without sounding like you're swallowing your neck while you're talking?
No, can I talk about his special he's doing right now, though?
You can after you tell everybody what the Louisville Lip challenge is.
It's a fourth a pound of pulled pork, a fourth a pound of brisket, chili.
Is it brisket, is it chili, or is it brisket
tomato.
Chili?
Fried green tomatoes, yes.
I have a question for you.
Brisket.
Is it brisket, comma chili, or is it brisket chili?
Brisket chili.
Okay.
Brisket chili. Never had it.
I have had it, and it's phenomenal. Not from there, but my buddy Chris, shout out to him,
from there, but.
Fixes. It's one of his signature dishes. My other buddy Chris, when we go over there to cook out every other weekend. And then they've got fried green tomatoes. What else do they have on there?
Tomatoes. I love tomatoes.
Hold on, I was pulling it up here.
Because he didn't have that up.
You should have it memorized.
I should not have this memorized
you
because
really
it's not.
You should. Bro, you're our food expert
you're
on the
foodie,
show.
You're the foodie, Higgy. You're the foodie of
I
the
I know
group.
I'm the foodie, but I'm not that foodie now when it comes to it.
You literally just got a notification from Qdoba right before the show started.
Yeah, dog.
So three half-pound patties, a fourth a pound of pulled pork, a fourth a pound of brisket chili, a fourth a pound of burnt ends, six slices of cheese, six fried green tomatoes, 12 fried pickles, bourbon bacon jam, onion rings, beer cheese, and a double order of fries, which is equivalent to a half pound of fries.
Do you really think any of y'all think that y'all could finish that? Because there's no way I could.
Probably not.
Joe, you think you could dominate it?
I would have to not eat for the entire day before.
Not in 30 minutes. Not in probably the time that he's saying.
Is 30 minutes?
You have 24 minutes.
Oh, no.
24?
No way.
No, I can't do it in 24 minutes. But, like, in one setting, yes I could take it down.
Yeah, I could take it down in one setting.
If you were about 15 years ago, I could do it.
I'm not talking about, like,
I doubt
eat,
it.
Then take a 15-minute break and come back. I'm talking about, like, continuously eating. I could do it.
Tell us about their specials right now, Higgy, before you explode.
Well, one of the first ones I want to talk about is the Chef in the Box right now that he's got going on. It's $50. It's a half a slab of baby back ribs, 12 jumbo rings, an order of fresh collard greens, beer cheese mac and cheese. And also, the $25 of this meal will go to Apron Incorporated, which is a service industry that helps folks out about falling on hard times and everything. So
that is an amazing thing for
dude
for Chris to be doing.
Yes. And then also, too, you get a $25 gift card to 4PEX, so you can get out and get more food out there as well.
That's awesome.
Higgy.
So basically, it's go ahead. Sorry.
We need to do these other ones too. The Fat Teddy Burger.
I'm down.
5.5-pound burger with all the fixings and fries. The new Bardzilla.
Where's this at?
You have 1 hour. Bardzilla, bro.
Hold on real quick. Did you just ask Joey where that was at?
The Fat let's Teddy go. Is at Chubby Ray's.
Oh no, we don't talk about other restaurants. Just
6.5-pound
Shack in the Back and food. 4 Pegs. real quick.
Only one person's finished.
You talked about the special, the $50 box.
Yes.
What flavor are the jumbo rings?
The jumbo wings?
Well, you said rings.
I heard rings.
Okay, my mouth's mispronunciation again.
Mispronunciation?
Hey, man, y'all. What's the... You teased us going into the break.
Oh, yeah,
something.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
a good segue.
Great segue. Higgy, you're good for something.
I know.
Next, not really.
Besides eating.
That was him that said it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, Joey.
I didn't do that.
I know, but I was like.
So next week, it's the return of my mom and dad's favorite segment of
and
all time.
My fiance's favorite segment as well.
Shout out to Megan.
God bless her.
I'm trying to remember which South Park character you remind me of. It'll hit me before the end of the show.
Not Cartman?
Kenny.
No.
Not Cartman?
I was thinking Kenny as well over here.
Yeah, no. Because you can't understand what either one I'm saying.
No, I'll figure it out.
I was going to say Peter Griffin, too.
You do look like a real-life Peter. No, you look like a real-life Peter Griffin, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Get that ball gin over there.
Jeez.
But
sports, folks.
No, that's somebody's – never mind. The return to pronounce this. So we all need to come up with some words for Higgy. Don't put them in the group chat. Send them to me individually.
The.
And we will
– The.
And we will sit here and laugh.
Just have him pronounce players' names. That's all you got to do.
Oh, my.
Let's not name the team, though.
No.
It definitely won't be any team in the swear jar.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I was just saying it in Penitentiary's hand.
Did you just say Shitticus?
I swear.
Did you just say Shitticus?
Yes, more of that next week. We might have a new sound bite afterwards, but. Pronounce this. We're going to do some more. We had such a great turnout with the CSD mailbag. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get all the questions this week, but we will finish them off next week if we don't get to them. And then we will preview the following Friday's game against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. So let's get into the mailbag real quick. This one's open to anybody. Trevor wants to know. What is the easiest fix? And you know what, Sam? I'm going to go to you because I have people's names next to these.
I had an answer for it already.
You don't even know the question.
Oh, I do.
So what is the easiest fix?
I knew what he was going
to for this defense in order to take a big step going forward.
They already started doing it. Just continue to be more consistent, be more aggressive, and play faster. They're on their way to becoming a better defense already.
Okay. Dalton, what freshman can come in and make a difference by the end of the season?
Does it have to be a freshman or can it be a newcomer?
Well, I guess it could be a newcomer. The reader specifically said what freshman, but I'll allow a newcomer.
I'm going to go KJ Cloyd. I think he just got added onto the roster really in August, early August, so not a ton of time to learn the playbook. I think he's a guy that could come in right away with his length and versatility and be able to play once he knows, you know, the plays that are being called.
I have a freshman.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can ask everybody because I do want to save some of these for next week. I did have somebody who sent me like 5 questions last night, and they were so good. I told her handle is @J_TrueBeauty, and she just had some great, great questions. So I'll probably go to that one next, and then we'll wrap the show up. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
My freshman would be Lovie Jenkins. I think we're struggling right now at the safety position. Fago and Hayes really aren't blowing anyone away with their ability to play defense. No knock to those guys. But I think you bring in a freshman who's had success at the high school level. He just continues. You'll have growing pains, but I think he can come in and do a great job.
Hasn't
as a freshman.
He already been playing, though?
A little bit.
Maybe I'm
sparingly.
Maybe, yeah. Sparingly. Okay.
The reader wants to know what freshman can end up making a difference by the end of the year. It could be somebody that's already played.
Okay, I thought you meant somebody that hadn't played yet. Okay.
Okay. Does anybody else have a freshman?
I was going to say
a newcomer.
Yaya?
Yeah, I mean, and I think he showed some flashes yesterday, but I think as the season goes along, if he keeps progressing, that's something that we haven't had as an impact player on the defensive line. And that would give us somebody on the defensive front that could help mitigate some of these issues we've had and take a little pressure off the linebackers as well from having to make every play.
Higgy?
I was going to say offensively, I'd say Trevor Reed. Bring Trevor Reed in. Offensive line.
It's about time.
T-Webb. So. Just kidding.
T-Webb's going to be a star here, and I don't care who believes me. Or who.
He's the next Redman.
Not if we can't get some linemen to block me.
Okay, Higgy, if you ever say anything stupid like that ever again, I will mute you for the rest of the store. A show. Store, too. I'll mute you from the store. Sean, Gary the Redbird, our guy. Shout out to Gary.
What up?
Why did we punt the ball away at the end of the game yesterday? I know a lot of us had this feeling. When it happened, I know. Me and Joey and Chris was aggravated.
I think he wanted to play field position. I feel like he was hoping that we could pin them back, get a 3-and-out, and play field position. Even though we were at midfield, I don't think he wanted to put the defense in a position where they had to try to stop them from getting that first down, getting a field goal, and then it's over. That's just the only thing I can think of, because otherwise I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why. I don't get why.
He doesn't understand why. No.
You
could don't have get
just
why.
Said you don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to put myself into their.
We're sitting here talking about we got a rebuilding defense, and you know they are. They
but they were playing great yesterday.
Right,
that's
but they've
the
been
thing.
On the field for 80 plays already. Like,
but they end up getting the stop, and we had
did.
The opportunity.
They
that's
did.
The thing.
It did end up paying off, but yeah. Next question.
Go for it on fourth.
I would have too. Cards in Alabama. Which line unit needs the most improvement, O line or D line, and in what areas can they improve the most?
Both.
I'm gonna say defensive line needs the most improvement. I feel like the offensive line, although there's a lot of film of them being progressively bad, there is a gleam of hope because there are a string of plays where Malik does get time. We saw that yesterday. We saw that when. We went down 13-0 and came all the way back. Or not? Was it 13-0?
Yes.
Or we came all the way back and scored 17. The offensive line was looking like they were starting to click. You saw Malik start getting some more time to pass in the pocket. But the thing about it is, the defensive line, the ends have to be able to get to the quarterback. We have to start creating more pressure on opposing quarterbacks, because if not, they're just gonna pick apart the secondary.
What was the question again?
The question was which line unit needed the most improvement.
I thought you said Alabama in there somewhere.
No, he said
his username was Cards in Alabama.
That's why I was like, we don't play them, and why do we care?
Sam, this question was posted towards you. They want to know, what Flyville commit, I guess Flyville 21, would you add to the roster today that would immediately help the team? One for offense, one for defense. And, Dalton, I'll let you answer that too, since you both are – recruiting connoisseurs. And I know Sean is too, but
I say Ben Perry would be the obvious answer. And then I go with our new four star. I don't want to mispronounce his name.
Zen Michalski.
Yeah, there you go.
Looks like a name for next week.
But
that's the kid that has been getting the high D1 looks as of late, right? Got one from offer from Ohio State the other day.
Florida State recently.
Those would be for me, the obvious two. Dalton might be different, feel differently, but we need help on the offensive line. And then Perry can do a lot. You can put him in different positions, especially in that safety area where I think we need, Rush Yeast needs a legit partner back there at the safety position. So,
yeah, I agree. Zim Michalski is my hands down surefire guy that I'm adding on the offense, because the line is what's holding us back, and he's a guy that I honestly think that skill wise he's ready to pick and plug. I mean, he's really kind of developed into his body. We got to remember, this is a guy that hasn't played offensive line but like two seasons. So I mean, you stick him with Ledford with the technique, and I think that the sky's the limit defensively. I mentioned pass rusher, so I'm going to go Vic Brown here just because I think he can be a premier pass rusher in the ACC, and that's something that we need. I think that the defensive woes trickle down from not getting enough pressure on the quarterbacks and, the backs coming out of the backfield. So I'd go Vic Brown, but Ben Perry's probably, if Vic Brown's number one, he's 1A.
All right, Outcast Card. Our guy Outcast Card wants to know when will U of L fans realize that this is still a rebuild? And I think what he's referring to the fact is that every game, and Dalton, you're extremely guilty of this. other people are from time, but 3 minutes into the game yesterday, we had some people in the group chat that were just like, the team's trash. We're ready to give up the whole season. It sucks. And then there were swings, and that's just the way the football is played. Unless you're playing Bullet East on the football field, you don't have
or Butler.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow, that's a Sean shot.
Can't,
why are you taking
can't
shots
say that
Sean?
About Mayo?
We can say that about Atherton.
True statement.
Wow, just everybody throwing everybody under the bus.
True statement. I'm not denying anything.
But I digress. There's a lot of people overreacting on Twitter. That's just the way that, for whatever reason, Card Nation has been the last few, and maybe the whole year of the card followed by the year of vacation or whatever. We had a really good year, and then we had a really bad couple of years, so that could have something to do. But we have turned ornery as a fan base. We have no no composure, no patience, no nothing. We're just like, and bless his heart, I love him to death. My dad has always been, he watches the game, and if we don't score every play, this is ridiculous. And then if we're on defense and we don't stop, our defense sucks.
Well, kiss my
kiss my butt. I can't believe they just converted the first down. But he means it from a place of love. These people just are just ornery, angry, and ready to just piss fire over our entire team. Sean, you look like you're about to either say something.
I'm about to say something.
I can't stand those type of people, man. I feel.
Okay, so how about?
Here's the the reason why is because we were spoiled last year. That's one big reason. A lot of people did not expect us to win the games we won last year.
Right, we went from 2 wins to 8 wins.
And they're like, okay, well, we've had, first off, we overestimated the offseason a little bit, I think. They were like, oh, well, Donis Boone got to play in the bowl game, so he should be ready to go. And you got Renato Brown, and you got this. But that's the problem. It's still a rebuilding process, especially on defense. We're still trying to find our identity there, especially on the line.
We're not rebuilding on defense right now. We're fine-tuning.
Oh, no. We are 100% rebuilding on defense.
No, next year we'll be rebuilding. This year we're fine-tuning.
But it's still a matter of a dearth of talent. That's another thing. We're still trying to develop that depth, as we've been talking about.
All right. So next question was from our longtime site friend at Evil Ed, or is Nick, Bobby, whatever, Ralph, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, whatever his name is.
Yeah, longtime friend. Huh?
Said that Outkast, I say that to say this, Outkast took my question, so I'll just ask if we know how long Malik is going to be out, and if so, how long are we going to hear, how long will it be before we hear fans start calling for Evan Conley, to which I responded, buddy, that's already started, because the very second he threw the interception at the end of the game last week, I saw people like, get this, he's trash, get him out of the game.
I think a lot of that comes from, last year. I think Malik kind of got banged up a lot last year. So Evan Conley came in, and like Wake Forest, there were times where he really stepped up to the plate. Now, was it a fluke or not? Who knows?
Right.
But I think that, when that happens, old habits revere, and we need another quarterback to come in because we see it as a quick fix. And it's really not supposed to be like that. But, I think that's really the reason why we see that.
I don't disagree. Plus, I just think that Twitter likes to just piss and moan and complain and whine and cry.
The most popular guy on the football team is the backup quarterback.
That's fair. Joey and Sam and Sean. Now, I know y'all two are too young probably to remember this because it was back in 2000. I think y'all are both like 2 or 3 years old. But I'll tell you who Evan Conley reminds me a lot of. Do y'all remember Mike Watkins?
Yep.
Yes.
Same type of guy. I remember it was, again, this is, we told a story before the show started about senior day, but this was it, who's senior? It was Chris Redman's senior day.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get to play the last game. And Mike Watkins was called on, and if we won the game, we got to go to a bowl game. If we lost the game, we more than likely, and he came in and threw for like 500 yards that game. And we used him sparingly throughout the next year and the rest of that, the bowl game. But Evan's got a lot of those qualities because he can throw the ball. At least from what I've seen, I don't know that he can consistently do that because I haven't seen him play a whole lot. But that's who it reminds me of there. Uber Andre came in, and the funny thing about Andre's question is the very exact second that Andre sent me this question, Sean had DM'd me and asked, because I'd asked everybody for some talking points for today, anything that they wanted to address. So, we took care of most of those. And Sean sent me the very same thing, almost word for word, that Andre did. He said, how do we incorporate more screens and slants into this offense, which I think would be a good idea. But the answer to that, Andre, I wish you to just let Sean ask that so I could be a smart aleck. I would say, well, we just tell the coach to call more screens and slants. But
turn the page on the playbook.
It's really that simple. There you go. It's really that simple. Just
there's more than one page, bro.
Hopefully.
That's what this offense really feels like. It feels like we've got we got 10 or 11 pages in our playbook, and we're only looking off of the first two. Spike Davis, world renowned comedian, sent a question, and this is, I don't know if he's taking a shot at Dalton or not. Well, he couldn't be because he wasn't in our group chat.
Pause.
But he wants to say, okay, I pause. He wants to know, how can we talk people into just enjoying the fact that we're watching football and that we have games to watch and not get frustrated? We almost had zero sports at all to get mad at, which Dalton predicted we wouldn't play. Oh, maybe that was towards Dalton. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that last part. But Dalton did predict we would not be playing football this year. But how can we talk – for everybody else that's not unbiased or that's not biased, Joey, I'll let you we'll go around the table with this one because at this point we're going to get to all the mailbag questions and we're going to focus on Higgy next week in the bye week. But how do we do that?
That's what I'm doing right now. I watch other teams play for that, to enjoy that part of it. My team, that's why.
But what happens when you have two or three
fanatic
teams?
Well, that's what we call a fanatic. When you're a fanatic of a team, like you take it personally, right? So, but when I'm watching Detroit and Arizona, like I've got no dog in that race, so I can enjoy that game and not get upset either way.
That's one of those we'll get them next time, guys.
Right.
Type thing as you lose in the national championship game. That's kind of the vibe that I get them. I understand in a vacuum, it's right. You know, the grass could always be darker. I think we could be in a situation where we don't have any sports.
That's true.
He brings up a very good point. But at the same time, you know, with sports coming back, you know, this is a society that's so athletically based, and a lot of our, you know, a lot of our interests are wedged into athletics, and it's not going to change. You know, you see it down south. You see it really everywhere, especially in football. Yeah, just because it's back doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here. But oh, we lost. It's okay because it's back. It's if we're going to play, I want us to win. I want us to play good.
Yeah, I get that. And you're right. It could always be worse. You could have more than one team that lost yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know any of those people.
Which?
How about them Bulldogs?
Higgy, you're right.
That's Mike Leach, right?
Line.
Wow.
Mike Leach, their coach, right?
Yeah.
Big first game win.
We almost had him as our coach.
He is probably the most fascinating person.
Have you looked at his Twitter feed?
Dude, he is awesome.
He beat a team I won't mention because, you know, there's somebody else at the table that has more than one team, and this is one of their teams. Even, you know, nevertheless, he wins a big game where his quarterback throws for like 900 yards. And then the first thing he tweets is a picture of a pumpkin that has been dried out and says, this is what happens when you all use all the pumpkin spice. You suck all the spice out of the pumpkins. And it's like,
dude,
what?
The state of Mississippi has Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, and Deion Sanders. Southern Miss is looking for a coach now.
Hugh Freeze.
And Jackson State's looking for a quarterback.
Man.
That's all I'm going to leave at FAU.
But one huge fact about yesterday, since Dalton's been alive, the national champion.
Like, time out. What you got to say now, Dalton?
What you got to say about Teddy B now?
Every dog has its day.
So fun fact real quick before we get to the next mailbag question. For the first time since Dalton's been alive, the defending national champion lost the first game the following season. So that's a fascinating fact, and it's true.
Yeah, but I'll take it 10 times out of 10 if it keeps what happened last year.
They lost 20 players to the draft this year, though.
No, I get that. But we had a conversation in the DMs about overhyping and overvaluing a team during the off season, and then it kind of come back to bite somebody in the butt. But I won't say any names, Dylan. So let's get to the questions from J True Beauty, because like I said, she had some great questions, and I think we've kind of touched on some of these answers. But question number one from her was, our offense is so vanilla and predictable. Are we seriously going to run the ball the first play of every drive?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question.
Okay.
That's what they are.
I mean, it is.
Why have we not seen a lot more of Tutu, Dez, and Braden on the field together?
Okay.
Sam, I'll let you get that
this
one.
This is the frustrating part about this whole thing this year. You have too many weapons. You have Tutu. You have Dez. You now have Braden. and you have Hawkins, Hall, and not to mention Cunningham. Cunningham and Ford. Now,
Watkins, other Fitzgerald, Fever.
Yeah.
Established weapons.
Okay, that's fair.
Defenses can only stop one or two players at a time. Now, they could either load up and stop the running back, and then they'll probably take away the QB run, too. So then that means your wide receivers are open. Make that read. Now, they could either shade back in coverage and drop a 2D to stop Tutu from running past the defense. Well, you know what that means? You have Marshawn Ford open in the flat. You have more room for Javion Hawkins to run. The defense cannot stop every single weapon that Louisville has on the same team unless whoever's calling the plays are helping them do that. And that's going on.
We're calling the exact plays
every single time
that gives the defense the chance to stop what you're saying.
Yes. I think we used the words yesterday, telegraph. We telegraphed a
everything
lot yesterday.
Yes.
And it really sucked. Joey, now that we faced what could be two of the best defensive lines in the conference, where does our O-line go from here? It can't get any worse, right?
Hopefully not.
I think we kind of – we've touched on
we
that because I think I actually brought that up unknowingly to the mailbag question, but that we've probably faced two of the better lines that we've had. I just feel like if the coaching is there with Ledford with the offensive line, I mean, they're going to get they have to get better. They have gotten better.
Agreed.
So
consistency.
Let me say something about that key. About that too. Sorry. I know.
I swear, you all out there, we will get this show under an hour sometime soon. But these mailbag questions
never.
Were just too good, and we're Dalton.
We're not sorry.
Okay.
I know
that needs to be a soundbite as well.
We're
as
not
an,
sorry.
As an offensive line, they teach you different techniques because. Louisville is not you see some teams they go with the quick passing and things like that where the offensive linemen excel at really chopping down the defensive linemen before they can even get their hands up. That's a different type of technique. I don't think that they teach Ledford teaches our linemen to do any of that. So that kinda takes away from the quick passes because you can do a 2-3 step drop, but the defensive linemen are still standing up. They can get their hands up and knock that quick slant down. But if they teach the offensive linemen to chop them down as soon as that ball is snapped, we have more windows for McHale or Malik, however the young man wants to be called, Cunningham to make those quick slants to our receivers.
Now, I want to make sure that this is perfectly clear because I know we do have coaches that listen to this show. We have commits, we have recruits, we have current players. These are not our questions because this next question is a hardball. But I asked for questions for the mailbag. I got questions for the mailbag.
Ones I like.
Sean, you're going to go last but not least.
You gave him the hardball question?
Well,
He thinks I'm going to be nicer about it. I guarantee that.
I'm trying to be fair. And that is absolutely correct. Sean, she says, I know it's only year two, but if the offense stays predictable, and we continue to regress with the studs that we have, how much longer do we keep Ledford as offensive coordinator?
Offensive coordinator, that's interesting. I think you keep him because
love Coach Ledford. That was not my – that's why I wanted to
make
– You're
going to keep him because –
perfectly clear, that wasn't my question.
The line is going to get better. I promise you, by the end of the year, the line is going to be much, much
I
better.
I don't disagree.
And when that happens, everybody's going to forget about what happened early in the year. That's kind of what happened last year.
What have you done for us lately?
Yeah, it's what you've done for us lately. People forgot the Kentucky game. I'm sorry. The other team.
Unbelievable.
They forgot that game at the
I'm
end
right
of the year.
Here, bro.
Because of what we did in the bowl game, right? And leading up to that last game of the year, we were all confident because of what we had done offensively. Now, defensively, we were worried, but offensively, we thought we're going to be able to hang with them.
I like the passion on this question, this answer for
me. But it's just – it's kind of like relax. It's year two. You lost one of the best linemen.
That's his catchphrase. That's catchphrase infringement. Relax.
You lost one of the best linemen in program history.
What does this button do? Oh, okay.
That's wrong because you did lose one of the best linemen in program history. Okay?
No, I didn't know what the button did. I asked you for a quick answer and I was bored. No, I'm just kidding.
And so no, you're not going to question him until I'd say after next year. If
wouldn't
had
you?
The same
I was going to say, wouldn't
year.
You? You want to give? I do anyway. I don't know why everybody else is always so first year, first game. Oh, well, this sucks. Let's get somebody new. I know we're 2 years into this, but shouldn't you be giving? That looks amazing. shouldn't we be giving these guys at least 4 years before we're ready to pull the plug?
I say three, but that's the
but
thing.
After three, you don't even have all your own players.
You're looking,
you give them 3 years, then on the fourth year, if it's not.
That's what I meant.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. That, it,
not 4 years, then.
Because I think, listen. Satterfield is a guy that runs the football. That's what he came in saying. I'm going to run the football. Everything is predicated off the run, right?
Yeah.
So he's a guy who wants to man up, knock, run it right down your throat.
Okay, but
you
when
anything about unbelievable. That.
But did he have the QB wide receiver combinations that he has right now when he came in? Okay, so he had running back. So you have to play to the strengths of your talent, right?
That's true.
So, okay, it's changed now. So, and again, not hating on anybody, but just as a manager myself, when I see that my talent pool has changed, I got to redirect.
But you also have to remember you have Javian Hawkins, right? Who was a 1,500-yard rusher last year,
true.
Mind you. And you had another, I believe he had, 500 yards rushing? Hassan Hall.
No, Malik had five, I think.
We had like.
Oh, was it 400?
2,500.
He still had.
I don't remember.
Yeah. We still had a lot of rushing
up.
Weapons.
Do anything.
And I think the problem is right now they're trying to find themselves because they don't have that Mekhi Becton thing. Be like, we're going to run right behind him.
Okay, well, if you can't find it. Go ahead, Joe.
No, you're good. I'll wait. My question ain't that important.
Oh, well, if you can't find yourself in the running game, then do what Bill Belichick used to do with Tom Brady. Use the short passing game to
bubble
open or something like that to open up the running game.
I'll be curious to see.
So they
something.
Don't have to block so long.
Right.
I mean, it's snap, short block. Use your Marshawn Ford, Ian Fiefer. Use them to block out there. Get that ball out quick. Get it to 2-2 so you can turn up field. Even if it's only 4 or 5, 6 yards.
I'm surprised they didn't use the
second and four is better than second and 11.
Right.
That's boom.
Back to what Sean was saying about, and you were saying about what he had at App State. Look, there's a fine, there's a fine line with great coaches and mediocre coaches, because what makes coaches great is their ability to be stubborn, not just to change at the whim of whatever. But at some point in time, you have to realize, hey, I have more studs than I did at App State or at a different school. And the competition is a whole lot better. I'm not playing in Alabama once a year. I'm playing Clemson, Miami, Florida State week after week. I need to change things up and stuff like that. Use the talent that I have around me.
So, Sean, you were incorrect. Hassan did not have 500 yards rushing last year. He had 501.
Oh, there you go.
Good question.
So you were off big time on that. And then Malik, how many did Malik have, Higgles?
Uh-huh. Oh, he finally got some stats?
Sure did.
Yeah,
wow.
He did before the show was over.
Year and a half, I've had to get all the stats that he was supposed to.
Rushing last year had 482 yards.
So I was wrong, too. He didn't have 500. He had 482.
Was Dwayne Ledford the offensive coordinator at NC State?
No.
Okay,
he was offensive line
that's
coach.
Why I want to make a point about this. We were talking about that. And again, not – so he's still settling in to – basically
he's still learning
double
too.
Duty.
Yeah.
He had all of his time and energy focused on coaching and teaching an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has the whole offense. So, again, not stealing your catchphrase, but everybody relax. Give him time to settle into his role as well with what he – again, he had two guys that play in the NFL now last year, so it was a little bit better. Now he's got to go to work.
I got a quick question for Jim.
As Jay Billis would say.
You've always heard the saying, those who can't teach, right?
Correct.
Jeremy, for you as a former offensive lineman, do you think is okay?
I mean, I play tight end. I never blocked it for sissies. I'm just kidding.
Would you want an offensive lineman as your coordinator helping you call plays, things like that?
I would like to plead the fifth on that.
Let's just wait till Georgia Tech. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens after this bye week.
Here's the thing. If like what y'all said, Satterfield is a
run-dominated,
then yes, absolutely I would.
Right.
Because who better is going to know the blocking schemes and like be able to do that and utilize that talent? So, yeah, if that's the coaching philosophy we're going to stick to, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, shout out. Thank you so much to Joanna.
I love you, Coach Lefford.
I hope I pronounced that right. If I didn't, please DM me and let me know that I screwed that up. Spike, Andre, Outcast Card, Ricky, Bobby, Nick, Ed, whatever your name is, Cards in Alabama, Gary the Redbird, Trevor, we appreciate all y'all's questions and contributions to the podcast. I don't know why my phone is in the middle of the show answering questions for me that I didn't ask. It's kind of like Higgy. but nevertheless, we thank all of you all for contributing to our show. It means the world to us because we do the show, but the show is for you all. Shout out again one last time to all of our fine sponsors, Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and currently working on more. There are several in the works. Not pulled the trigger on any of them yet because some of them are still waiting to see if the football season gets shut down. We might have a couple more here in a few weeks, so stay tuned for that. I know that y'all are on the edge of your seats for that. If you'd like to sponsor this Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, give us a call, 502-694-0375. Either myself or one of the team members here will answer that or return your message. Get at us on social media. On Facebook, you can find the site at Cardinal Sports Zone, three separate words. Hit that like button, make a Facebook official, tell all your friends you love us, but don't be like some don't be a stalker, but like the page. That's cool with us. On Twitter, it's Card Sport Zone because it wouldn't let us put all the letters in there because it's stupid, but we love you, Twitter. Please give us the edit button soon. But you can find us there individually. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jeremy_CSZ. And then we have Sean, which is at LonelyBoy1. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and tell him you're
at Elville Sean.
BaseBoy124.
That was Sam. Joey.
Joe Wallman 526.
Blue Chipper.
Defense _
Higgy.
I am the Higgy.
Louisville Lip 5595.
You can find us all at those locations. You can find the podcast itself on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, iHeart Podcast, and we are soon to be on Amazon Music. They're one of the number one avenues for podcast up-and-coming podcasts. Whatever you do, please hit subscribe. After you listen to the podcast, hit that subscribe button. You'll get it before everybody else does. We normally post the podcast. Like, we'll post this here in about an hour. Y'all get it first. Everybody else won't get it till tomorrow morning. So hit that subscribe button. Mostly because me and Sean got other stuff to do tonight. We're too lazy to post it to the website. But, no, you'll get it exclusively first. If you haven't listened to all those episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast and you haven't subscribed, go back to CardinalSportsZone.com, hit the drop-down menu, check them all out, hit the – see, there's – if I remember correctly, it's CSZ on 93.9, Live with 55, which is other incarnations of the podcast, and then finally it's this one, the CSZ podcast. You can check them out. Shout out to our recruiting team, which is all sitting around the table here for the most part, except for our guys Hive and Blake. They're on fire. The entire squad's on fire, but these guys are really on fire. They're getting exclusives. They're getting things taken care of. We got great ideas about to come out. CardinalSportsZone.com, the place that all began. Shout out to everybody out there who's sharing the podcast. We really do appreciate you. If you have any ideas or suggestions for guests or topics, shoot us a DM. We just gave you all of our social medias. Any last words? Sean, I'm going to let you go first.
Wear your mask and just calm down. I know I'm kind of stealing Sam's
stuff. Are you taking everybody's last words?
Yes.
Okay, Sam?
Well, thanks for saying that, Sean. But I want to say first, happy birthday. Shout out to my dad. I know he listens
happy
to the podcast.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Your dad's birthday is my mom's birthday too.
Oh,
so. Well, shame on
happy
you.
Happy birthday, mom.
Whoa. No. You've already had your last word.
Yeah,
and you neglected
what
your mom.
What a loser. I'm just kidding.
But
not a loser, but happy birthday.
We just virtually buried his mom yesterday, so today was his first birthday without his mom. So, like I said, happy birthday, Pops, and have a good one.
Happy birthday, Pop. Joey?
I'd like to give a special birthday shout-out to Sean's mom.
Well, thankfully somebody did, because that was ridiculous.
I mean,
that's
the first thing I thought of.
I'm sure she appreciates
that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I hope you
and
have a great
Sean,
day.
And according to Sean, you wouldn't know her true age, and she's quite attractive. So, you know.
How you doing?
Sorry. My bad. Continue.
Big Ten football's back, so guess who's trash again?
Maryland.
Hey.
Dalton?
I mean, I don't really have any last.
You don't have any
last. Except for I would say.
The Chargers are down 11?
Well, you know, this would be cool.
Is that one
all
of his
teams? I don't think I've ever had all my teams lose in the same weekend, but it is possible this weekend with the Chargers down to the worst team in the NFL.
And Teddy completed a 25-yard pass now on you.
I still can't remember that guy's name. He wears the glasses, and he's the one that's always trying on South Park. And he's not one of the main characters, but he's always trying to sabotage Timmy and Jimmy.
I can't remember. Doing
so bad.
I'll find it out for next week. Y'all remind me. Higgy, any last words? And don't give us any coupon codes for Postmates.
No, I was just saying, everybody have a good week. Stay safe.
All right.
Don't tell us what to do.
Yeah, don't. You're not the boss of us. Well, I have some last words as well as we hit the end of the podcast. They are. Stop ordering from DoorDash. Stop overreacting.
No.
Oh, he's trying to call us all out.
I'm sorry. Stop.
Start ordering from DoorDash.
Yes, start ordering from DoorDash. Yes. Stop ordering from Postmates. Get Sean a date. And remember, saying that Black Lives Matter does not say the rest of them don't matter. We all matter. And this world needs to be full of more people like us who love each other. If you're a racist or you don't like black people, you know where you can go and what to
and
do.
And don't listen to our show.
Yeah, don't listen to our. Please, unfollow the show. And
I
go.
Love you, Miss Barber.
And go blank.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
And go blank
Jesus
yourselves.
Jesus, help us all.
Un-effing-believable.
Go Cards. And relax. Oh, I'm sorry. And
relax.
Calm down.
Happy birthday to Sam's dad, Sean's mom. We're out. It's the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast.